It's the Dork Podcast. It's the Dork Podcast.
Rich Keith.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keith, joined as always by Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
I'm having a great night, Richard. Thank you for having me once again on your program.
Well, it's your program as well. It is our program. But, Ryan, we are doing a rare three-man weave. Allow me to also introduce our third man in. That would be Goo from the Mac and Goo. Goo, how are you?
You guys have caught me on a great day. I have been dealing with the diarrhea all day, and it has finally slowed down.
Diarrhea all day long, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
What do you do there, ginger ale?
I just kind of let it run its course. Until I just emptied out.
See, Davey never has diarrhea because he just has so much ginger ale where his stomach is always as healthy as an ox,
and,
that guy.
And look, I don't know how you guys do it on your program, but we don't do any toilet humor here. So if you could just clean that up,
this
would
is
be
all
great.
Medical stuff right now. Davey, I am trying to keep it as clean as possible.
No, I'm going to clean all that up anyway, Rod. We haven't even really started, so that's fine. So
I
Chris
hope you're
Sale
not
is dealing
up after
with the same
kid.
Thing that Goo is. So maybe those guys had a bit of the bug, huh? A
little. Maybe they're sharing drinks or kissing.
All right, listen. Yeah. Let's
open
not get,
mouth kiss.
Let's not get down. potentially. All right, let's. We got a lot to cover
kisses.
Here today in hashtag Dorktober 3 Season of the Witch. We have tons to get to, but let's start with the news. First, guys, you probably saw the news. Ryan Coogler is set to both write and direct Black Panther 2. Although the last time we saw Black Panther, spoiler alert, he was not in human form anymore. He was a pile of ashes. Pile of ashes.
I think this is good. I don't think there's anybody qualified at this point to do Black Panther 2 other than Ryan Coogler. Am I right or am I wrong?
No, I think you're right. I could say that much about it. I think you're very much right. I'm looking forward to that film. Goo, you excited about this news?
Absolutely, just because of the fact that when you have the same director, writer, you at least get to keep the same tone and the same guy that understands the characters. They don't try and change it up or try anything new. Right. They kind of know what to do with them.
Yep, I'm in on this. Other Marvel news, Iron Fist not getting a season 3 despite a nice bounce back in season 2, but I wouldn't be surprised if we saw this character again. I think they may start to take some of the Netflix Marvel shows and move some of them to the Disney streaming. So I wouldn't be shocked because he had a good season 2 and it ended with in such a way where you actually wanted a season 3 or at least you wanted a continuation of the character. I bet we figure out something. But as of right now, the first of the Netflix shows to get axed.
And this is a bit of a warm take for me, but I would like to see. I would actually walk that back. I do not want to see a season 3 of Luke Cage. I would like those two characters to be put together. How do you feel about that?
Yes, Power Man and Iron Fist. Yes, please.
There's for hire.
That's what I want.
There's an outside chance that Danny did die on his way back to his home planet.
There is a chance. Or how about we get the? How about we get? You know, if you get the Avengers. Actually carrying over with the Netflix universe, boom, half of those guys disappear. That's what you need.
Yeah,
right there. That's what you need right now.
Maybe they just talked about
it.
Danny Rand disappeared.
Yeah.
That's two spoilers for you in the podcast so far.
Right out of the gate. No, people, at this point, you're not listening to the hashtag Dork Podcast if you're waiting to see Infinity War. I think
that's in my queue right now.
That's the only one that I feel like we're safe. Like, even older movies, I feel like we can't spoil. But that one, it's like, okay, we're fine.
Yeah, we're fine there.
I have two bits of DC news. One, The Flash standalone movie might not be out till 2021, or Ryan, as you might say, if ever.
Oh no! I said this to you guys on our group chat that this is the new Gambit. This movie's never coming out.
But at least not
in the Flash in his current form right now. Ezra Miller will not be in this movie.
They just need to Flashpoint it. Then start over. Start scratch.
Give me Flashpoint with an old Michael Keaton playing Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
There you go. You think that'll do that?
No,
there's
probably
no way
not.
That's happening, though.
Not going to happen. Hey, guys, good news. And we don't get too political here on hashtag Dork, but Kanye West visited the White House. There was a lot happening there, including he admitted that his favorite superhero was Superman.
Of course it is.
No shock.
Of course it is.
None shocked over here. Not even a little bit. That's
you know
exactly
why? Because he's
right.
A lunatic.
Yeah.
He is a lunatic.
He is. He's a little off base, maybe. He's a little left to center, as they would.
He's the worst.
He's not great.
He's not great.
Did you guys see the Pet Sematary trailer? And if so, what did you think?
So I saw it. And it brought up a bunch of old feelings that I had from the very first Pet Sematary. That movie did a lot of damage to me as a young man. Mm. This one, I don't think it's going to get much better. You know, I think this is a scary film. I hope they don't biff it. Someone was telling me that the character of Zelda, the sister with the spinal meningitis.
Okay.
Apparently she plays a much bigger role in this movie.
How do you like that? And this comes out April, of next year.
That was the scariest thing I've ever seen as a young person was when she was like, what?
Pet Sematary was?
With the scene where the mother was like dreaming about her sister and the sister was all like twisted up in bed. She was like feeding her soup.
Yeah.
Like, that was the scariest shit ever.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to the onslaught of Stephen King remakes that'll be coming out soon. So.
Yeah. When are we going to get the Langoliers? When?
The Night Flyer.
Goo, this one's directed just to you. Riverdale is back, baby.
It's back, baby.
It's back, baby.
And the first episode did exactly what we expected.
Yes,
it came in hot. And then for 40 minutes, you said, wait, why am I watching this? And then the last 5 minutes is like, you're coming back next week. And I am.
Let me ask you this. Is it too hot for TV?
I don't know, man. I don't want to spoil nothing for anybody because I assume that everyone is watching these and they're catching up. But there are some points maybe too hot for television. Of course, you know, Archie season one, getting with Miss Grundle. There's several points where Betty gets very risque. Jughead, of course, leads the serpent. He's getting tattoos all over his arm. He cut someone's tattoo off their arm.
Yeah, that was intense.
And of course, FP.
Oh, my God. FP for days.
Hey, Davey, what's Skeet Ulrich doing right now?
I have no idea because this show is the pits.
No, it's not. It's maybe the best show on television right now.
It is the scream of television shows.
Which is the best movie of all time.
That is high praise.
That is the highest praise.
In terms of this podcast, it's the scream of the TV because you are so into it that I love that you're into this, but I could not care less.
In 2 weeks, when we do our Scream episode, I'm going to lose my mind at you if you undersell Scream the whole time. I'm going to lose my mind.
Now, Rich,
it's what makes us different that makes us great.
Well played.
Yeah, that's true.
Rich, when are you bringing back Kiefer Dale?
Ooh, I did mention it the other day on the air. I was trying to see if he was going to. I go, you might as well jump right in here. Season 3 premiere this week. And he was like, well, I don't need to catch up on anything else. I go, no. You probably do, but still, just jump in. See if you like it. I bet you do.
Pop on the CW and just tear the knob off.
Yeah. Really, every night they got a superhero show on. They got a DC comic on every single goddamn night. Speaking of DC comics, there was a Watchmen image for the upcoming HBO series. I don't know if it's Rorschach. I don't know what it was. Guy in a mask. What was that, Davey? Is that Rorschach? Who was that?
I don't know what it was. It better not have been Rorschach because he had like this yellow mask.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the comedian. I hope that's the comedian.
Was it Dick Tracy all of a sudden?
I don't know.
Am
I
right? Condiment
Seriously.
Man.
Condiment Man. Could, hey, better safe than sorry. What? Am I right?
It better not have been. Better not have been Rorschach.
No, I don't think. I don't know if it was. I just thought, I saw the mask, but that's all the
Maybe
news.
Ozymandias,
I have.
I don't know.
Yeah, I could. Who's to say? Let's get to Ryan's portion of the program.
Yeah, let's make this quick because we got a lot of stuff to do.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute, even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, Ryan, what do you have?
All right, so first and foremost, Blackout, Call of Duty Black Ops 4 is out. And I got to tell you, man, I was on the fence about this. It was a bit of an impulse buy for me.
I thought, didn't you shit all over this last week?
I did.
Yeah, and then
I was just kind of like,
all of a sudden I see on Twitter, you're like, yeah, I bought it and it's great. I was like, what?
Because I was reading reviews about it and I was kind of interested in, I loved the old Call of Duty multiplayers. I really did. They got a little bit formulaic. And the one thing that actually sold this for me is there's no story mode. There's no like.
Oh, okay. Guy loses his best friend.
Yeah, exactly. And you get the guy at the end and whatever. It's fun. But it's like I said in an article talking about battle royales. Like battle royales are like Chinese food. Like they're fun when you're doing it, but you're hungry again in an hour. Like it just leaves you kind of unsatisfied.
Yeah, why is that? You think?
I don't know why that is. Probably something they put in it. Goo can talk about the intestinal issues.
So I don't know.
Yeah, maybe that was part of his problem from last night.
Yeah,
I did have some Chinese food recently that might have played.
Yeah, so it's fun.
That was it.
But you know, it's a fun. I wouldn't spend $60 on it again. But you know, it's fun enough. But good news, bad news, Richard. Good news is next week we get our first DLC for Spider-Man.
Oh, I love good news. So that's good news.
I'm at a brisk 18% in that game right now, and I am just loving life.
18%?
18%. I'm just taking my time.
Smell the roses, good.
I am taking my time. I'm just swinging around town.
Have a swing. Yeah, go have a swing.
So you go out, have a swing.
Yeah.
There's three new suits coming with this DLC.
Is that right?
So, and they have been revealed. So you have the British Spider-Man, the Spider-Man UK suit, another Scarlet Spider.
Okay.
Scarlet Spider 2, and then you have one that's like the Velocity suit. I think it was just designed for the game.
Okay.
So it's like one of the same designer. So,
you know,
so three new suits. No Raimi suit. People are kind of pissed that there's no Raimi suit, but
yeah.
And the last bit of news I have, and this is kind of ridiculous and awesome, so I want to get to this right now.
Uh-huh.
There's a guy named Hakam Karim who lives in Bahrain, who has now been officially recognized by Sony and Guinness as holding the most platinum trophies in PlayStation history.
Jesus.
He has over 1,700 platinum trophies. And I have to read this one because this is amazing.
That's outrageous.
This is amazing. They asked him which is his favorite, and he goes, this is a quote, "There are many trophies I'm proud of, but the one I remember was the Max Payne 3 trophy where you had to complete the game without dying," said in an email.
What?
"It's a silver trophy called The Shadows Rushed Me, and it requires not only staying alive the whole time, but also completing each chapter in the game within 60 seconds.
What?
Every kill gives the player 5 seconds to the timer, while every headshot gives you 6. That's the trophy I'm the most proud of because of the skill and dedication I had to put into unlocking it. And it took me 20 hours to do with retries."
Oh, my God. This guy,
that's ridiculous.
Is that guy on Twitch? I'd watch that
guy.
He
better be. Hakam Karim. He's from Bahrain. I don't know. There might be a language thing there, but
I don't give a shit. I just watch him play the games. We were talking about it last week. I'm like, I think I have like 3 platinum trophies. Like 100%ing like 3 or 4 games. And this guy
has 1,700.
Like, that has to be his job. Like, what else does he do?
It has to be. I think he does it full time. He has to.
Holy smokes. All right. That's impressive. All right. Let's get on to our topic du jour, Ryan. What do you say about that?
I'm sorry. I was still thinking about Riverdale. What's that?
It's the topic of the day. And today we are right back BD into hashtag Dorktober 3 Season of the Witch. This is the entire Halloween franchise.
What a spooky fun time we're about to have, guys. Uh-huh.
Yes, woo-hoo! We are. Yes, we are.
Could you just say macabre once?
Please.
Macabre.
That's right, because association with Macabre and Ghoul, we bring you the Halloween franchise. The 11th Halloween movie comes out this week, so we'll have an episode next week breaking down the Danny McBride written Halloween.
The third one named Halloween.
Which is such bullshit. You know what, we might as well say it right now. I can understand why the Rob Zombie Halloween was called Halloween, because that was like his own starting point. But this is specifically the sequel to a film called Halloween. Makes zero sense to call it the same thing.
So we have 3 Halloweens. We have 2 Halloween 2s. We have a Halloween 4 that's actually Halloween 3. Halloween H2O is actually Halloween 6. And Halloween 6 does not have a number on it.
That's correct. That's correct. That's what we're looking at. And even Halloween 8 does not have a number either.
Nope.
Whew. So this is what I think we should do. Let's just go in chronological order, even though, you know, that's, I guess, saving the best for first is what we'd be doing here. But any questions, comments, likes, dislike, kills, whatever jumps out to you, let's just go through it. So let's start with the original, which is without question, far and away the best. To me, it is the best horror film. It is my second favorite. I think Scream is my favorite, but I recognize Halloween as the best.
That's high praise.
1978, 40 years ago, this bad bitch came out. Halloween 1, John Carpenter, Deborah Hill, Jamie Lee Curtis, the whole shebang. You introduced to Michael Myers. This, to me, is the best. I don't know if you guys think there's another horror movie better than this one.
It's not so much that it's better. I think what the staying power of Halloween, the original Halloween, is any horror movie that you consider to be your favorite, doesn't exist if Halloween is not successful.
Right.
So Halloween was good enough that, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, like all of these movies come after Halloween, and they probably wouldn't have gotten made had Halloween flopped. I read the other day, until the Blair Witch Project, this was the most successful independent movie of all time.
Yeah, because like it costs like $300,000 or something to make.
Yeah.
And yeah,
and then they Jamie Lee Curtis said that it was shot in like 17 days or something crazy yeah. like that.
Yeah, they threw it together pretty quickly. And
it made like 70 or 80 million dollars
yeah.
in the box office or something.
No, that's
nuts.
It is pretty nuts. Goo, is this your favorite?
This is my favorite horror movie, and I think the two things that play the most into it is the music is absolutely perfect. They use the music yeah. to play with the suspense that really gives you that scary, spooky atmosphere that plays with the whole fall feel of it. And then also, you have the boogeyman, where there's no backstory, there's nothing needed, he's just evil. And you can see it in his black eyes. Dr. Loomis tells us that. You have likable heroes, it's unpredictable, compelling characters, and the kills are all really subtle and not over the top.
Yeah, not a lot of blood. It's the Halloween series is actually, in a weird way, somewhat similar to the Saw series, or I guess really mm-hmm. Saw more similar to Halloween, in the sense that the first Saw is gory, like, in, you know, compared to like a normal movie, but then the other movies are what really make it outrageous. And like this one, there's not a lot of blood. It's similar to, yep. you know, Psycho, which obviously there's the connection there with Janet Leigh and Jamie Lee Curtis. Also the character of Dr. Loomis. There's a Loomis named after the guy in Psycho. So there's definitely,
and then Billy Loomis named after him.
After him and Scream, right, exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of borrowing and a lot of things like that. And so Halloween, as Davey said, does get credit or blame. I mean, I guess it depends on how you feel about the Friday the 13th franchise, the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise. But one thing I found that was interesting, I was listening to some of the episodes on the Halloween podcast on The Ringer, which I don't really recommend. I don't want to go down this whole road, but the girl that did it like kind of tried to sound like the woman from Serial, like the way it's set up. So I'm like, I didn't think it was great. But one thing that she noted was that John Carpenter was a huge fan of the film Black Christmas, which came out in 1974. Sorority, right? So it's like a similar thing of like stalking like hot girls, right? So it's a similar idea yeah. to Halloween. And he met the director before Halloween came out, and he was like, oh, like, are you gonna make a sequel to Black Christmas? And the guy goes, no, I don't think I'm going to, but if I did, I would have the guy escape from the asylum and come back to wreak havoc on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And she goes, I'm not gonna you know cast any, you know, I'm not gonna say anything or whatever, but like, come on, like that, like Halloween, it's similar to like the movie Peeping Tom doesn't get any credit. And like Psycho gets all the credit, even though Peeping Tom, I think, came out a little bit before Psycho did. So like Black Christmas might even be more of an original slasher, but they're both great. Like Halloween's better in my mind. Yeah. It's a better movie. Michael Myers is more iconic. Like I think having a villain like that is as important as anything in a horror movie.
Carpenter said that the only reason why he made this movie is just to, so they gave him money to just make a killer that stalks and kills babysitters. And then it just happened to happen on Halloween. And then Michael got this whole mythos to him, and that's how everything took off.
The original title of the movie was The Babysitter Killer.
Yeah.
The Babysitter Killers, or Killings, yeah. or whatever it was.
Killings. Yeah.
Yeah, Massacre?
That's what it was. No, yeah. The Haddonfield Chainsaw Massacre.
It was actually called The Babysitter's Club, but that name was taken.
It was called Adventures in Babysitting.
But one of the things I find most remarkable about this, too, is you had John Carpenter, who directed this, wrote it, I believe produced it.
And did the music.
I
don't want to sound like one of the boxers, but talk about clarity of vision.
He was also Michael Myers at one point.
He was dressed up as Michael Myers, and yep. he was going out with Deborah Hill at the time. And one of his demands when they asked him to make a movie was, I want Deborah Hill to produce it. And they're like, well, what else has she done? And he's like, well, nothing. But they were like,
don't worry about it. Shut up.
And Deborah Hill was the one who wrote most of the dialogue for Laurie and Annie and PJ Soul's character, like all like the women in the movie that you ended up actually caring about, rather than it's so many of the knockoff movies later on. It was just like hot girl runs by half naked and she's dead. Like, whereas this movie actually, yeah. like you got to learn something about them,
which there is something to be said for a hot girl running naked.
There is, for sure.
Let's not poo-poo
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's a bad idea.
This
that
movie
has its place.
Also has the best kill in the Halloween franchise, in my mind, which is when Bob gets strangled up against the wall and then stabbed, yeah. and Michael kind of gives him the eyes.
That's the head turn.
Yeah, the head turn. Yeah. And the entire scene, you can hear Michael breathing. Something that you really don't get a ton of in the sequels is like the breath up against the mask.
Yeah. You can sort of hear him a little bit. And also the best mask, too. Before we even get too far into this, easily. Yeah. Why
you know
tweak
why
it?
I like this one?
Why tweak it?
It was very ill-fitting.
Yeah, the mask itself was very ill-fitting.
But it's also very simple. Yeah,
right.
Well, because then you get into the later ones, and it's like it was made for him. Like he looks like he's in Slipknot,
and they have eyebrows kind of drawn on it, like Uncle Leo.
I think less hair the better too.
Yeah.
The hair's a bit much.
And, like, sometimes the hair is kind of slicked back and the face is kind of flat. I think Halloween 4 has, like, a flat face. Halloween H2O has a terrible mask.
Yeah.
Oh, terrible.
No, it's pretty bad. That's for sure. Now, so, again, this is I think the best horror movie ever made, but I think you can nitpick it. Like, there's plenty of things you can nitpick, especially when you've seen it a million times. And so, a couple of things. One, you mentioned some of the good kills. Now, it's a great image. But are we led to believe that Michael Myers went to the graveyard, got Judith Myers' stone, which has to weigh 500 pounds, mm-hmm. and without anybody seeing it, got it into the house and put it on the bed, and then put the dead body on the bed with
and
the
gravestone? And this is Michael Myers at his smallest, too. Because
he's
like
a little
four
dude
and
here.
Five, yeah, in 4 and 5, he's like a linebacker. So maybe like one of those Michaels could pick up a gravestone. This guy can't.
I don't think that he can. So that, again, it looks cool. Also, I don't think it's possible. Now, this is something that you'll probably notice if you watch it again and again, is early on when you get the POV, right? You got little Mikey Myers.
Who doesn't like a good POV?
I think most of us do. He got the little clown suit on. He goes up there. His sister's just brushing the shit out of her hair. He goes to stab her. Now, listen, I'm not blaming the victim at all here, but she is a high school-aged young woman, and she is obviously surprised that Michael is doing this, but if you notice, she makes no attempt to defend herself or to stop him. She doesn't do it. She kind of is actually more concerned about keeping her towel on than she is stopping Michael from stabbing her to death.
Keep you gotta towel. Be modest, don't you?
Yeah.
So you guys have no problem with that?
None. Who would assume that their 6-year-old brother's going to stab them?
All right, what about this? What about when the parents arrive and he's outside? They don't really freak out or ask him too many questions. And they also don't, like, sprint into the house. They see him with a knife and blood on it, and they're just like, Michael? Michael? And I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, you're going to ask him what happened? Are you going to sprint into the house? And the woman, they obviously didn't give her any, like, direction, because she's just standing there just, like, waiting for him to yell cut. She's just, like, looking at him like, okay, I'm out here. You got your shot? I'm like, nothing. Nothing happened.
Hey, you get what you pay for. $300,000 budget, you get what you pay for. You know what I mean?
That's also pretty good. And then one of my favorite bits of dialogue was Jamie Lee Curtis is doing, like, the whole, like, I don't really like boys, or I like boys, but I'm shy. And, like, she likes Ben Tramer. And then out of nowhere, Andy says to her, Dick Baxter would go out with you. I was like, who's this poor Dick Baxter? I'm like, they should bring him back in the sequel.
Doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
I can tell you right now that probably didn't make her feel very good.
No, it doesn't. I wish they would just cut to a shot of Dick Baxter just, like, you know, playing with worms somewhere or something.
Or just like a shitty yearbook photo. And it's like Dick Baxter. And it has like nothing under his name. Like, didn't do anything.
Senior year, he's got braces and just he's a fucking mess. But Dick Baxter will go out with
Dick
you.
Dick Baxter, like, should have been her husband in H2O.
Yeah, it should have been. And that's the other thing, is there's several timelines, but we can get into this. So anyway, so that's the first one. Do you guys have anything else from the first one you want to hit on?
It's really great. Watch it. If you haven't seen it,
okay.
What are you doing?
Any recommendations for this?
I would recommend the
movie.
It's
really great.
You like
I would
the film.
Say to own it.
Yeah.
You like the film. It's a great film. Now you get into Halloween 2, which was made...
Well, time out. I want to say that this is a good film. And I want to impress that upon our listeners, because that's probably the last time I'm going to say that.
It might be. Oh, that was also my biggest takeaway. And I was scared of everything as a kid. So, like, I didn't watch this when I was, like, a kid. I watched it when I was, like, in high school. And when I first saw it, I'd heard everything about it. Like, I knew who Michael Myers was. I was shocked, like, how into the movie I was and, like, how into the story I was and all the characters. Like, I was blown away by how... I'm like, oh, wow. Like, no wonder why people like it. Like, this isn't just, like, Kill Count. This isn't just stupid shit. Like, it was really good. Like, the whole Dr. Loomis angle with, like, the Insane Asylum and all that other stuff was great. Loved it.
I was 7.
Now, were you as scared of this as other movies?
Compared to the other movies in the Halloween franchise, I think I liked the first one the most because it was like an actual movie.
Yeah.
Whereas the other one scared me more, like, say, Halloween 3, where I was very confused, but also children were being killed.
Yeah, we'll get to that one. That one's something else. So my niece is 8 and really wants to watch horror movies. Do you think she could watch the first Halloween?
Can you do one of those Christian edits where you take all the swears and the stabs out?
The Christian edit.
The Creed version. Yeah. You know what I think I could do? Actually, you know what? I wonder if you could watch like the AMC version. It was probably a little bit kind of walk back a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
I think all so.
Right. All right. So Halloween 2 is made 3 years later. It's been kind of told that John Carpenter didn't really want to make it. Jamie Lee Curtis didn't really want to make it.
No.
But they make it and it takes place the night of. Now, It's sort of like an automatic connection. They're like, oh, Laurie Strode is Michael Myers, their brother and sister. Well, in the first one, weren't. So they made a choice in this movie to make them related, and they kind of like toss it in there.
Which Jamie Lee Curtis thinks is so stupid. She hates it.
You don't need it is the thing. You really don't.
It's completely useless. It's completely useless. And it's actually... it makes the movie less scary because one of the scariest things about the original Halloween is that Michael Myers is going after Laurie Strode and you don't know why.
Yes, absolutely.
As opposed to maybe it's tracking like an obsession down his family. With his sister. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
Now it's a little, I agree with you. Now, one thing that gets a little, I think, overstated is that Michael Myers, like, we don't know anything about him, right? Like, he's not like the Joker because the first scene of Halloween, we see kid Michael Myers. So we see him, we don't know why he did it. But we have an image of him as a child killing somebody and then going away, right? So, like, you already have that. Like, you know that he lived in a nice house in a nice town. He had parents and he had a sister. So
may I suggest that you don't show your niece the opening scene and just have her go into it thinking that he has no backstory? You can now make that cut for her.
Wait, you want to take that out of the first one?
I think that you should do that for your niece so that then she truly believes that there is no backstory.
Oh, for my niece. Yeah. Like, this is, I'll do my own Halloween edit. Like, I'll just mash up all the best scenes for all.
No, you know what you should do? You should do like the Be Kind Rewind. You should make your own and show it to her.
Like, here it is. Halloween recut. And she's like, the Rich Keefe edition.
We'd all be in it. We'll do it shot for shot and we'll all be in it.
I could do that. I want to be Annie.
Okay, I'll be Dr. I'll be the doctor.
Okay, you be Dr. Loomis. Goo, who do you want to be?
I'm easily Bob. There's almost no way around this.
Yeah, you're going to have to be Bob.
Bob got that stank on him, so.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Do you think Mac could be PJ Souls' character?
Or he'll be like the Doyle kid?
Because he'd do topless, wouldn't he?
Mac would absolutely do topless. Yeah. Mac Rex.
Speaking of topless, it doesn't really matter like what people look like. It matters what's on the inside, but... If you're talking about topless scenes, I've said this on the podcast before, I'm going to say it again. Halloween 2, the nurse that gets burned / drowned to death in the hot tub.
Yeah.
I think that's the best topless scene in the history of film.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I don't know what the actress's name is, and she's not in a lot of movies, but like that, I was like, I think it. She looks perfect, is what I would say.
Would you make thicken or warm?
I was waiting for somebody to say that today.
Obviously, Goo, I would not. I'm a happily married man, and that's a very crass comment. In fact, I'm going to stricken that from the episode.
So speaking of...
No, I'm not. I'm obviously not going to do that. That's
one of the four. So speaking of...
What are you going to do?
Speaking of that death, though, and you can tell that this movie was made after Friday the 13th because they ratchet up the kills to try and match what they did throughout this entire movie / like the rest of the series. And like, these are so over the top and they aren't even appealing to watch. This second movie sucks.
Yeah, because Michael Myers is like a trendsetter. And then in 81, it's like, oh, now he's going to try to be Jason. You're like, what are you doing?
Now he's going to stab someone with a syringe and he's going to burn someone's face.
It's like, the scene where he's in the hallway and he stabs the one nurse and he lifts her up. And you're like, first of all, the physics of that, I don't think really add up, but fine. And then, the kills are just so over the top. And like, that's where you really start counting kills and like how they did it. Like they were like, we're going to get more creative. The story is going to be stupid. We're going to make them related. Like, it's kind of lazy writing.
Yep.
So
it's that lazy where they're like trying to be creative. And in the end, they just like, it doesn't work.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what it is.
This movie also has the most ridiculous scene, maybe in the entire franchise, where there is someone who is dressed like Michael Myers walking across the street, right? Which, first off, doesn't make any sense because Michael took his onesie and his mask, like, you know, from a store and from a mechanic, yet there's someone dressed the exact same, and a cop drives into him, right?
Yeah.
And into the back of another truck, and the truck explodes, and the cop gets out of the car, and he goes, well, I didn't even see him there.
So, he goes, he came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
He goes, no, he didn't. He was walking in the middle of the street on Halloween. On Halloween.
If he had kids popped were out walking of the car, in the middle of the
street. Yeah.
If he had popped out of the car and said, I got him, I got Michael Myers, that at least makes more sense.
It's also amazing where the guy, he's pinned against the van. He's on fire. You can't see him at all. The other cop runs out to Loomis and he goes, is it him? Is it him? You're like, dude, I can't tell. I mean, maybe.
I can't tell. The guy's on fire. And not only that.
And what foreshadowing.
We've been in a car accident enough times and seen real car accidents to know that if the front of a car hits the back quarter of a car, it doesn't immediately burst into flames.
Just goes up, just ignites. The other best part of that, and this is something that could have happened several times in the series, but if the other cop didn't kill, and again, obviously it's not Michael Myers. It could have, was it Ben Tramer? Like, it could have been anybody, right? It was Dick Baxter.
that fuck.
Loomis was about to shoot him. So Loomis was about to shoot an innocent guy, but he got bailed out by the other cop who murdered him with his vehicle. Like, it was like, what a event. What a turn of events.
And this is really when Loomis trends into just complete insanity.
Like, I think it might have been Ben Trainor, actually. I think it was him. Now, the other part is, if you try watching like all these movies in a row, the first 5 minutes of Halloween 2 are just the last 5 minutes of the first Halloween. Like, it's
right.
Like,
and so it tees you up. You're like, all right, this is going to be good. Yeah. And then it's a complete fucking letdown for the next hour and a half.
The other part was like a little sneaky little part they have in there is before they're like establishing the hospital, they show a kid going in with a razor blade stuck in his mouth. Cause you remember that was always, I don't know if you guys heard that story, but there was,
With the apple, they
like trick or treating
apples for Halloween.
Yeah. Trick or treating. You're always like, oh, like careful of your candy. Cause sickos might put razor blades in it. And so there's
don't take any unwrapped candy.
Yeah. 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 That's like a big thing, but they sort of had like a little nod to it in that movie. There was like a 30 second shot of the white, her like mouth's bleeding. And the mom's like, don't pull it out. Like, all right, Jesus. Yeah. But Halloween 2, I actually think Halloween 2, as many flaws as it has, probably in the top 5 or 6 of Halloween
absolutely
movies.
It is.
Yeah. Okay.
But
right. I mean, there's only eight really of them. There's seven of them. So I hope it's in the fucking top five.
No, it's 10. There's 10 of them. I'm counting
also,
the zombie ones.
If this was the final movie with Michael Myers, there's a satisfying ending to it where he gets blown up and he has fire in his eyes. It's a pretty cool screenshot. But then Michael comes back for 4, so that's all for naught, and now it looks really stupid.
Right,
and
they then, blow of course, him up. They literally blow him up like they're done with him. Like, John Carpenter's done with him. They're like, everybody's done. They're like, this is over with. Also, a lot of the other sequels, I think, made the mistake, with maybe the exception of the one that comes out this week, is rather than, because it took place that night, everybody was like, all right, we got to include this one. Like, if we're making a Halloween sequel, like, what they said in this one counts. Whereas, like, they all should have started over just from the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But they got sucked up. Now, something completely different is Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, comes out in 1982. I think most people have heard the story by now. The idea was to do, like, a Halloween anthology series and have a different Halloween every single year with different topics. But what's weird is they kind of bone themselves because they called it Halloween, which is fine. But you call it Halloween 3, it's very, very misleading. Because it's like American
also,
Horror Story does it. But
no,
they don't,
witches. Hello.
Okay, and no witches. Right. It's like Troll 2.
Although it's like, technically, it's not
the sequel to Troll, we understood Trolls.
The guy that ran the mask shop, I believe, was a warlock. Are we counting him as a witch or no?
He was a warlock. Well, that is a male witch. So I think, I mean, it should have been Caesar the Rich, warlock.
Rich would know. Rich is witches.
Riches, witches.
Now, riches, witches. Now, I think what this got backlash too, because they didn't, this was pre-internet. So like they just came out like, oh, Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. Like this is going to involve Michael Myers. And they never said
in the
advertising that he wasn't going to be in it. So people were pissed, like legitimately pissed when they saw this movie. And like you said, I mean, it's incredibly misleading. It just completely fell flat. And just kind of a weird idea.
It was very strange. And I think, that, again, they just screwed themselves. Like, if it was its own movie, I think even now it probably has, like, a bit of a cult following.
It has a cult following. I mean, it isn't that bad. But here's the thing. It's also not good. It's a terrible fucking movie. And people think that it's a... People, like, will always say to me now, like, oh, it's a good 80s horror movie. No, it sucks. This movie's terrible.
It was real bad. And, like, Davey, to his point... Like the next three Halloween movies all had Michael Myers in the name of the film. Like they were like, I promise you he's in here. We're going to even put his name in the goddamn thing. It's like a bad
The next three subtitles for 4, 5, and 6 are the same subtitles that they use for the Pink Panther trilogy. So kudos to them.
Holy shit. You're right.
That is ridiculous. But going back to Season of the Witch real quick, obviously, the little theme song on the commercial is obnoxious when you watch the movie. Like that's the point, but it's
a nice little earworm. Yeah,
a lot of kid deaths, which you don't see in a lot of movies.
A lot of snakes and worms eating children's faces.
I don't really understand that part. You put the mask on. The mask is then supposed to turn you into like it's supposed to just kill you. Like once you get triggered like that.
This movie also has maybe the least likable leading man in any horror movie. This doctor is a complete piece of shit who, for some reason, bangs every lady.
Oh, yeah. They all like him for some reason. He's smacking the one nurse on the ass at the beginning of the thing. You're like, what is it? This guy's the doctor? Like, what are we doing here?
And she's like, oh, you.
Yeah. Also, what's some fun facts here is Jamie Lee Curtis is actually in the movie. She's like the curfew. There's like a curfew in the town. Like there's an announcement and it's her. And then there's another time. Just voiceover stuff with Jamie Lee Curtis. Also, Annie from the first two is in this. She actually plays that creepy doctor's like ex-wife. She's in it. And so Tommy Lee Wallace was one of like John Carpenter's buddies and helped him with the first two movies. He directed this movie. He was married to that woman who played Annie in real life. And then he also went on to direct the It miniseries, like the It TV movie. That's a fun little fact. Also in this movie, the Halloween trailer is played.
Yep.
So it's like, not only is this not a sequel, but they're now like, that's just a movie in our world. You know what I mean? It's
so,
like it's
so meta.
Yeah, like, what are we doing? It was Scream before Scream is what Season of the Witch was.
I just think that, I mean, Season of the Witch was so ballsy. The fact that they took a risk, there's no Michael Myers and they're having children being eaten alive.
Yeah.
Come on. That's ballsy.
It is ballsy, course, but it's to me, it's still very clear. Like we're going in order here. Like it's the best movie, the second best movie, the third best movie, like right out of the chute. Now this is
as a child. As a child watching this, I watched it with my younger sister, who upon the end of the movie just violently threw up everywhere. Just at the end of the movie, just threw up everywhere at the sight of the children being eaten alive. Which, by the way, the end of the movie just ends. It's
over. Yeah, we're like we're done with it.
Dr. Shitstain just yelling on the phone and just ends. Done.
So it's like look over there. Like we had 90 minutes. Like yeah, we're 90 minutes. Like all right, we're done here. Just
roll. Are we out of film? Yeah, we're out of film. Oh, okay. See ya.
So the question remains for this movie. Is this movie bad if they don't call it Halloween? If they just called it Season of the Witch?
Yes.
But is it as bad?
Yes.
I don't think so.
I think it gets buried if it did not have the Halloween tag on it. It is buried and is completely forgotten.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Well, so I've read some stuff too where people are like, "Yeah, but if we didn't call it Halloween 3, it wouldn't have been made. Like they wouldn't have given us funding."
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was just really bad. I'm trying to look up one of the reviews for it. It was
I found a two-word review that just said shit sandwich.
No. No, you can't say that, can you?
That's not real, is it?
Anyway, so let's get on to Halloween. Actually, let me see. Because I was looking some of this up before, and it was just like they... yeah, so I mean, it's just such a departure. Like, there's no... Yeah. It's not really a serial killer. It's not a slasher even anymore. You have none of the same characters.
Ghouls and goblins and spooky times. Get back to the real point of Halloween. The consumerism has taken over.
Okay, here we go. Halloween 3, this is a New York Times reviewer, manages to the not easy feat of being anti-children, anti-capitalism, anti-television, and anti-Irish all at the same time.
I love it. Love it.
All right, so let's get on to one that I think is significantly better. That would be Halloween 4.
Which came out Return 6 years of later.
Yeah, and so that was the longest time in between movies. But they brought him back, and it's literally what it says. It's the return of Michael Myers. So they go new timeline. Or actually, I'm sorry. They go sequel to Halloween 2, so scrap Halloween 3. And what they're doing now is they kill Laurie Strode off camera. They tell you that she was killed in a car accident, and her daughter, Jamie Lloyd, now becomes the main character.
Now, do they actually get rid of Halloween 3? Because this is technically the beginning of the Druid trilogy. So do they keep some of that spooky stuff around that the witches did from 3? See,
again, I think if you're going to have Halloween as a movie in Halloween 3, then that one can't be in, like, maybe it exists.
I think the witches did it. Magic.
Oh, yeah, maybe they
now, did they in this movie. One, did they discuss the rune, the thorn rune in Season of the Witch? Did they talk about that at all?
No.
With the druids?
No, but then no. 4 is the first time that we see the Man in Black.
The Man in Black, and he has the tattoo on his arm, the thorn
but
rune
we don't see
tattoo,
the,
right?
We don't see the thorn tattoo on Michael until 5, which, by the
yeah,
way,
okay.
All this conversation is complete bullshit. This is the worst storyline that has ever been added to a movie series to keep it going.
So
the only
really
thing I remember from these two movies is Michael Myers pushing his fingers into people's faces as a way, as a means of killing them. Like this it's one, like doesn't
a,
he like
a nice
he
glove
just takes
watch.
His thumb. Mm. He puts his thumb in a guy's forehead. Like yeah. That's how he kills him.
Yeah.
Well, in the fourth one, and I actually mistook this in our podcast, Mac and Goo, where I said that Michael stabbed a guy with a gun in 5. It turns out he stabbed a lady with a gun in 4. So
oh, there
sorry.
You go.
That, he stabbed no, her with a gun.
I did think that the kids were very, very mean to Jamie and like at her school. In fact, yep. Way more mean than I would have thought. Like, I know now there's even less bullying than there was before, but even when we were growing up, like, I don't think anybody, like, at one point, the kids in the hallway were laughing at her and saying, "Your mom's dead." Like,
classic.
I feel like that.
Boom, roasted.
Like, I feel like that would not have been brought up. I feel like that would not have been mentioned, even if you were the worst prick, but maybe not. Maybe I just was surrounded by nice people. I feel like that was a little over the top. I do think the ending, though, of Halloween 4 makes it. It makes it one of the top 3 or 4 movies in the series.
The
ending was a great payoff.
And the first scene, the opening scene, first off, has nothing to do with the movie. It's a complete departure from everything else in this series. But
yeah.
It's just like this weird, eerie, no music of farm equipment where you get this like fall feel where it's very uneasy.
Yeah.
And that leads into the movie where I agree with you. I think this is actually the second best in the series because it feels the most like the original Halloween.
Yeah, but like what a bold stance to be like, all right, Jamie Lee Curtis is going to survive Halloween and survive Halloween 2. Michael Myers can't kill her, but then she gets killed in a car accident.
It's a silent
yeah,
killer.
That's a weird thing. And we're going to bring in like this whole like Professor X, Jean Grey psychic connection thing.
Yeah, that's tough. Well, no, and that's more even in 5. So in
yeah,
4,
it's more in 5 right, where she
like,
doesn't speak.
So, but that's at the end of 4 when she like touches his hand. Right, she like goes
yeah.
to like she's
yeah.
looking at him. And he's
right.
dying. She touches his hand, and that's when the whole.
So
thing
that's
happens.
The thing. That's where they screwed it up. So then the next year, the Revenge of Michael Myers is Halloween 5, 1989.
Which, by the way, where is the revenge in this movie?
I don't know how much revenge. Well, I mean, I guess every time you kill somebody, it's revenge.
I mean, I understand that he was kind of blown up like a Frankenstein's monster at the end of 4. And like he goes into that tunnel. And then when they throw the dynamite down there, he crawls to the hermit's lair and then kills the hermit. Is he getting revenge for that?
So, well, okay. What?
Yeah. So, but the thing is like he has no reason to get revenge on anyone. Like he's the bad guy.
He's
like, no, you don't get to get revenge if you're the dickhead.
But that's the problem, you know? Is like, so like Halloween 1 is so good. And then Halloween 2 kind of like takes away from some of it. Like, it shouldn't, but it does. And that's the same thing here. It's like Halloween 4, not as good as the first Halloween, but it's solid. You're establishing Jamie Lloyd, but then you're like, all right, what's the payoff there going forward? Like, they kind of screw it up. And then the Man in Black, the druid shit, the telepath, like, are now it's too much. Also, the beginning of that movie, you mentioned the hermit. I don't understand. So this guy just lives in like a cave or whatever.
He's blind too.
What was his setup? What was that? What was he doing down there?
I believe he lived
in this guy's story, a
rock lair. I would say he's blind and he just found a random man, a big hulking man, probably reeks of God knows what. He's been blown up several times. He was shot numerous times at the end of four.
He's wearing a mask and he's been shot several times. And the hermit goes, yeah, I'll help this guy out for a year. I'm going to live with this guy for a year. And the other thing,
you're my best friend, Michael.
Would you be willing to bet that that hermit was Dick Baxter?
If they just
said
that.
He looked like a Dick Baxter.
Yeah.
Had to be Dick Baxter. Had to be. Also, why on earth in Halloween 5 do they try to make the police officers like slapstick? It's like they're in a different movie. It's like a horror movie. And then every time the cops show up, they play like the bumbling sound effect and like horns. And you're like, what is this?
Yeah, they didn't do it, but I just hear like that spring, like that boink, you know, when something like trips or something like that.
I was like, what is this movie? Why are they doing that with those characters? I didn't get that at all.
Or like someone slips in a banana peel and they do the whoop, 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 whoop sound. You know what I mean?
That's
what
also you're
with,
for.
With the cops, all of the teenagers in this movie are complete pieces of shit as well, where every single time that you think that Michael is there, it's a teenager playing a prank on another teenager.
Oh yeah, it's nonstop pranks.
That would have made more sense in 4. Like, say if Michael had gone away for like 10 years and like now is the time to, you know, make fun of this massacre, you know, have a good laugh with your friends about all the murdered teenagers. But like, Michael was around the year prior. Yet all of these children are dressing like Michael to pull pranks. And then,
so let
like,
me just
it's
somebody stop you right
it's the
there,
ultimate
dude.
Too soon.
So let me stop you right there. So what you're saying is that a movie based on people paying homage to a serial killer and making sport of that whole thing is bad and it makes for a bad movie?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Well, but
you just described this plot of Scream.
No,
but keep going.
No,
please keep
not,
going.
No, he did
oh,
not,
look at
Ryan.
Davey
he
over
was
there
trying to
on
set
his
you
cloud
up.
Of judgment.
You son of a bitch.
Throwing down life
and
lessons.
Sons of bitches.
You son of a bitch. Scream.
No, because whenever the cops
you're talking about the
catch.
Stab movies. The Stab movies, you coward. Which Jada Pickett Smith and Omar Epps were on their way to seeing. And Scream
whenever
2.
Whenever the cops would catch one of these kids trying to pull a prank, they would like pull off the mask and the kid is just like,
yeah,
hardly no hands up a sandwich with too much tuna.
No,
it's way too much. Aren't you mad about how much tuna there is?
You ticked off?
No, I mean, I like tuna, so it's probably
it's
fine.
Too much tuna.
No, I think it's fine. Also, there's a couple of good scenes in here where so Loomis has probably already lost his mind by Halloween 5.
Yeah.
And he is screaming in Jamie's face. Jamie's
unable
in bed.
To speak any lines. Oh, he can only yell now.
She's mute right now. She's mute because of what happened in Halloween 4, the traumatic event. And he is screaming at her. Then
and she's very sweaty.
She's very sweaty.
I remember being sweaty.
Very emotional.
Yeah. But she now also played TK on Boy Meets World, so we can let that slide.
Yeah, it's all good. She's very good actress. Now she
Teresa
also
Kiner.
She oh yeah. She talks for like the first time. So like maybe a full year has gone by. And she finally talks, and Tina's there. And Tina's like, oh, my God, this is great. Like, you're talking. I got to go to a party. And she's like, what? Like, I'm talking for the first time in a year. She's like, I know. You're going to be fine. I got to go. And she's like, no, Tina, like, stay. And she's like, I love you. I can't. I'm like, oh, my God.
Tina stinks, though.
Yeah, Tina's was not long for this life. Halloween 6, should we get onto the curse of Michael Myers?
Can I just quickly...
Sure.
Just one more thing on the final part of that is that the final chase scene in the Myers house, first off Myers house in quotes, because of the fact that they're in some like abandoned mansion, like in the countryside, but that's the Myers house, actually isn't that bad with like the dumbwaiter and then Loomis beating him with a block of wood and they fall down together. That wasn't bad. But the thing that kind of pissed me off though, is that Michael takes off his mask for the first time. And this was huge. This was we finally get to see Michael's face and he's just a normal guy. He has eyes.
Yeah.
His skin isn't severely burned. He's not some kind of a zombie.
No, pretty nice skin, actually. No.
Very nice skin.
Yeah, how many times did he get something stuck or shot in his eye, and yet he still has
in
eyes?
In Halloween 2, he was shot in both eyes.
Yeah, he was shot in both eyes. Well, Dick Baxter nursed him back to health, though. Oh, yeah.
What a great shot by Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, pinpoint. Pinpoint, for sure. So now you get on to Halloween 6, or The Curse of Michael Myers. And again, Ryan, this is pre-Scream, so horror movies were still really bad. They didn't get rebooted, thanks to Scream, the next year. So it was a bad time in...
P.S. But pre-Scream. Yes.
Pre-Scream, it was.
P.S. pre-Scream, yeah.
Horror movies, P.S. This is the debut of Paul Rudd. This is the first Paul Rudd you get.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Stephen Rudd.
Had to drop the Stephen because of how much of a shit salad this one was. This one's confusing to me. So, the Strodes.
Yep. Now, which cut are you talking about? The producer's cut or the theatrical cut?
Let's stick with the theatrical cut for right now.
All right, fine.
We can get to the producer's cut and the incest angle in a moment. But
which some say is one of the best horror movies of all time when you do the producer's cut and you get to see the actual behind the scenes, the producer wanted to do. Which, by the way, no other movie has ever had a producer's cut.
No.
Because the producer's cut,
the director's cut
is what goes to the theater.
But can you guys explain this to me? So the Strodes, they adopted Lori, who was Myers. So it was Lori Myers. She was very young. We didn't see her we didn't know her in 1963. We didn't know she existed, but she was there. So Lori Strode changed
Lori
her name. Lori Myers became Lori Strode. These murders happened in the Myers house, and yet somehow the Strodes ended up, like, not Strode's uncle. Lori Strode's uncle ended up in the Myers house? What?
I don't know.
How is that possible?
This is it.
So they live in the same house. They live in this exact same house. I'm like, what are we doing here?
And then Tommy Doyle still lives next door.
Right, Tommy Doyle lives across the street, and he stares out at Kara. And there's one scene where Kara, like, she sees Michael Myers and sprints out of her window. Like, her first instinct is to take off, and she sprints out of her window. Or maybe that was when the Druids were there. She sprints out.
Yes, that was when the Druids were there. I remember that scene.
Dives onto the ground. I'm like, is she dead? And she wasn't, and she was fine.
And she was fine. She didn't cut herself. Oh, yeah.
No, she died. I think she died. No, she was fine. She didn't die there.
Yeah, she died later. She didn't die at that point.
Yeah. Also, there's the whole thing where there's the wacky radio show, and they're talking about Michael Myers, and Tommy calls into him and, like, tells him about what happened to him all the way back in 1978. And then when he later meets up with Loomis, he said something like, oh, I know, like, you probably heard or whatever. I'm like, what? Like, so you just assume that he was listening to the same radio station at the exact same moment that you called in? Like, what on earth? How is that a plot point?
By the way, I feel so bad for poor Donald Pleasance in this movie. He is just about to die. He might be dead in this movie, and they're weekend and burning him around the set. Say,
they weekend and burning him for sure. Like, they definitely did.
He is on death's door, and of course he dies at the end of the movie. Like, in real life, he is dead, and they let him go out in the worst possible way. One of two ways, of course. If you're looking at the theatrical cut, he is just yelling like a madman. And if you're looking at the producer's cut, he has the thorn symbol on his wrist, and now he is taking over for the Man in Black. To which I would say, who would put a 115-year-old man in charge of the future of this series? What are they thinking of this?
Now, Goo, I will tell you that, you know, because of this series, this guy was a working actor for almost 20 years. So, this got him some work.
He got a lot of work.
He was a professionally trained actor and did serious movies, and this is what he's most known for. But let me ask you,
specifically Halloween 6.
I've heard you guys talk about Halloween before on Macabre and Ghoul. Do you say Pleasance for comedic effect, or do you think that's how his name is pronounced?
I assume that's how his name is pronounced.
Got it. Donald Pleasance.
Which, by the way, the working title of this movie was Halloween 666, which would have been way better. It's a nice spooky number. It's satanic.
We're just gonna blow past the Pleasance.
I thought you were gonna say it was Halloween 666, the curse of Donald Pleasance. It could have been. I just thought it was like a funny revenge, way of saying it.
It's the revenge of Donald Pleasance. It's the curse of Donald Pleasance. It is the return of Donald Pleasance.
Donald Pleasance. That's the best.
Oh, my God.
You can look that up if you'd like, but okay.
I'll have to bang that.
Give it a bang. Let me know when it kicks back.
Ask Jeeves. Ask Jeeves. What does Jeeves say?
Let him know. But anyway, oh, so this is the other thing. So a lot of people, and I think.
Pleasance.
He said it all the Sorry. Time, and I laugh Sorry. Every time. I think you got to stick with it now. I
mean, no, you can't stop saying it.
It's a part of it. It's part of it. Much like how Michael has to kill his family, even though he rapes his niece to make more family.
Yeah, bizarre. That is a bizarre twist.
Well, now you're just nitpicking.
Now that's the producer's cut, goo. That not everybody has seen
I'm
that.
Sorry.
Okay,
I'm
not
sorry
seen
about that.
So the Man in Black is a very confusing storyline. So basically, what you need to know is the Man in Black worked with Loomis at the, I'm forgetting the name of the insane asylum, but he was working with him there.
So it ties back to Halloween 1. So this was the plan the entire time.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Smith's Grove Sanitarium. And yes. He was either in, I think he was in the first movie too.
He was, yeah. But okay. It was a different actor.
Oh, different actor. So that character was in the first movie.
Yeah.
And so the Man in Black, and then it gets into this whole cult thing. And so that's why he saves him. At the end of Halloween 5, right? Because is it Halloween 5 where he's locked up, he's in jail, and then he's like,
well, they had that whole problem too, where Michael Myers has been institutionalized since he was like 6,
right?
And yet somehow he drives a car like to get away, and then
that's who he's talking to. That's who Lewis is like. Well, he was driving pretty well. Like he doesn't know how to drive a car.
Someone must have taught him.
Yeah. And then so
that's where that filled in that gap.
And I think, that never really bothered me. I'm like, maybe somebody did. And then they try to fill that gap in later, like you said. But so anyway, Curse of Michael Myers is the director or producer's cut or not is the got to be the worst.
This
one,
is
right?
The worst one easily.
Yeah.
This is bar none the absolute worst one.
Well, just, and there's
everything about it is just stupid.
They had to recast the actress to play Jamie, and then they killed her off. So it's like Jamie's this great character. Even in 5, it's a bad movie, but she's a really good character in both. Kill her off. Weird storyline. She's pregnant. You're like, okay, I don't know. So anyway,
Tommy finds her baby.
Yeah,
and then
Tommy has
ends
the baby.
Up beating Michael with a pipe. Michael bleeds green goo.
Right.
Unless you're watching the producer's cut, then Michael gets stopped with rocks.
There was also the scene where it was, I think it was Deborah Strode, who looks a lot like Vicki Lawrence. And Michael's like chasing her. And you're like, why am I watching like a mid-50s like housewife like run through like the front yard and get stabbed to death? It was very weird. I don't know if there's been anybody that's looked like that's gotten murdered in a slasher movie ever. It's very weird.
Yeah, it was very weird.
All right, let's go to 3 years after that. They go Halloween H2O 20 years later, which is Goo mentioned on Macabre and Ghoul. Not a number at all. In fact, it's an
it
element.
It is an element.
It's an element. So that's what they decided to go with. And so this is, Ryan, whether you like it or not, this is a Scream-inspired couple of movies.
Absolutely.
It is. And this is, we have Scream to blame for this pile of shit.
Yep. Scream, like Halloween did, they produced a ton of copycats and
Ryan,
knockoffs.
Ryan, pile of shit or third best in the series.
You're calling H2O Halloween water is the third best in the series.
Ryan, H2O means Halloween 20 years later. Come on, bro.
They go out of their way to call it H2O. But I love how it's called Halloween H2O.
Halloween.
20 years later.
So it's Halloween,
we just
Halloween
wanted to hammer
2020.
It home.
And so you know what's... Okay. You know what's messed up about this is so they're going, we're changing the timeline. We're going to make obviously 3, but we're going to make 4, 5, and 6 disappear. Or we're going to pick up after 2, which even though it came out in 1981, it was the same night of 1978. So hence 20 years later. But what's weird is they almost could have connected the two. Like you could have said she faked her death and gave up her kid. And then it could have, they could have still been connected,
but
right?
They didn't want the
whole
curse
point.
Though. They didn't want like the whole Thorn thing. So they had to completely dump all 3 movies.
True. That's true.
But that is true. But like at the same time, like Laurie Strode is living in California under another name.
Right.
Is that the
like
Mustafar trilogy? Is that what it's called? The Mustafar trilogy?
The
I'm going to look that up.
Mustafar Akkad, the guy
Thank
that
you.
Like
yes, yes,
that like produced or like he just threw some money at it. I think
financed
is all it was.
It. Yep. Yeah.
But you know what's interesting? So she's still in this timeline. She had a child when she was like 20, just like
Josh
she was
Hartnett,
she,
baby.
Yeah, she had Josh Hartnett. Yeah. But what they also did was, so they're like, we're ignoring these movies, but then they show in like the little like clippings like that she like faked her death. So like Jamie or Laurie Strode died in a car accident. So they kept like the car accident angle, but then instead of her having a daughter, she had a son and she's still living with him and she changed her name. So I'm like, you guys,
and clearly, instead of being yeah. Jane, it's John.
Right. You're like, okay.
Which fine. That's good writing.
Yeah. Like, and then you get, you know, Michelle Williams is involved in this. She's, you know, she
turns
in
into
Venom.
Lady Venom. It was nice.
You remember Lady Venom? Who doesn't? Not bad. But so you think this is the third best movie in the series, Goo?
Well, what would go above this? Like, this is the only one. I don't know.
I think two and four are better.
I think purely for the end of the movie, the end, of course, when they put Michael Myers in the ambulance and then Laurie says, no, fuck this. She takes the ambulance, brings Michael out to that remote location and then chops the head off and says it ends now. I think that alone makes this better than a lot of the other sequels.
You got LL Cool J. You got him in this.
He's out there. He's
what a
smacking his lips.
He
he's licking yeah. him.
You also get Joseph Gordon-Levitt. You got him at the beginning. A little JGL
sure
at the
do.
Beginning. And it's interesting. At the beginning, you see like some characters. You see like a Freddy. Well, I guess it's a hockey mask, but it's really a Freddy mask. You see like a Hellraiser type character. Not Pinhead, but another one. You see a Freddy Krueger. So like that's definitely like Scream inspired. Like they yeah. definitely tried to make it without really discussing them. They like were like, hey, we're aware this stuff is going on.
And Michael also, is a normal yeah. size in this movie, which is good, but the mask is still terrible.
Yeah, yeah, the mask is pretty bad.
It's like too brand new.
Yeah. There's also a scene where Sarah and Molly are in their like dorm room and they're watching Scream 2. So how do you like that?
Which part?
I don't.
Little on the nose. The part with Sarah Michelle Gellar when
nice.
Cece's on the phone
yeah.
talking to somebody else
yeah.
who's actually the voice on the phone is Selma Blair. That's a fun little. That's right before she's killed. She gets tossed off of the balcony.
Those Spoiler. Two make out in a movie.
Spoiler on Scream 2. Yeah, they did. Faux show. Janet Leigh is in this movie. She has a short cameo talking to Jamie Lee Curtis, and Janet Leigh's character's name is Norma.
Psycho.
How do you like that? Not Norman.
I love it.
Norma. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So H2O. Then 4 years later, you find out Michael Myers not dead. I thought we saw his head get cut clean off. Not
the
dead.
Old switcheroo.
That is the worst because yes, the end of
switch.
H2O was pretty cool. And then this mm-hmm. movie says, no. What Michael did was he put his mask on an ambulance driver and slit his throat. You idiot.
Correct.
You fell for it.
So let me introduce you to Halloween Resurrection, which came out in 2002. Starred Busta Rhymes and Tyra Banks.
Which, that's the best part of the movie.
That is definitely.
That makes it more watchable than 6 and Halloween 2 Rob Zombie.
It's better than both of those, probably. Because Busta Rhymes at one point says, quote, trick or treat, motherfucker.
Yep.
So that's a good line. And it is kind of one of the like reality shows were starting to like 2002. That was like right around the time,
yeah.
You know, like American Idol and Survivor and all those shows were really starting to take off. So I get it. Like the whole idea of oh, you're going to go stay in the Myers house, see if you can survive the Myers house for a night.
There are so many tunnels in that house.
A lot of tunnels.
It's like the Underground Railroad.
Yes. Well, that was also like in Halloween
history.
Was it 4 or 5 where you're like that goddamn laundry chute? Like again with a goddamn laundry chute. Everybody had a laundry chute. Yeah, anyway, not a great movie. So then from there, let's jump ahead. You got 5 years. You got a 5-year break from Halloween Resurrection into Rob Zombie's little spin on it. So you have Halloween, just that's what it's titled, 2007, and Halloween 2 came out in 2009. This is much, much, much more backstory on young Michael Myers.
And yucky.
Honestly, when I first saw the movie, didn't hate it. I've watched it several times since. It gets worse.
Yeah.
It's not very great.
Yeah, the first half of the movie. I don't know. Like, why does his family have to be this white trash family? Isn't
they're
that
so
a little on the nose?
Bad. Like, they're so over the top. Like, the stepdad, like, the,
his,
it's okay,
his stepdad
so
says
the
greatest line in any horror movie ever, where the mother is talking back to him, and he goes, don't
no,
make
don't
me crawl
don't,
over there.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
Fuck you.
No, you said it. All right.
Oh, my God.
Couldn't help himself.
When he said that in the theaters, because I saw it in the theaters, I just died. I'm like, this guy knows what he's doing. He is fantastic.
It was
fantastic.
Just so... Yeah, I just... Because, Davey, don't you think it was a little bit scarier when you're like, all right, Michael Myers was like a young kid. He was in a middle-class neighborhood. Like, he had two parents. He had a sister. Everything seemed to be fine. And he still turned into this guy. Whereas... this is the complete opposite. Like, his stepdad is the worst. His mom seems nice, but she's a stripper. She's got to do that. Like, the sister's mean to him, like, really mean to him. He has no friends. He tortures animals. Like, you already know he's going to be a serial killer.
I mean, the problem I had with this, and again, like I said before, the one of the things that works about the original Halloween is there's really no reason for him, this kid, to like snap,
right?
Which is rooted in kind of like a, like, it's just the unknown. Like, and I think that's what's scary to me is, like, you'd have no reason for this. There's no reason for this kid to be this way. Whereas if there's a reason for it, you're like, it's kind of like justified. But at the same time, Rob Zombie can't help himself but add like these like white trash.
I mean, it's literally like the cast.
Characters.
It's the cast of The Devil's Rejects, yeah. Is all this,
right.
Which
and
I
like,
love. And I love those movies, but I'm like, it's almost too much because it's like you already have Michael Myers. You don't need to go so overboard with the stuff.
No,
like,
and I think that's what it is. I think you just do less.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Plus side here, there are a ton of breasts in the movie. The downside is that usually the gentleman that is having sex with the lady looks just like Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
And nothing takes me out of a sex scene like watching Rob Zombie plowing some lady.
No, that's probably fair. What'd you guys think of... well, first of all, Danielle Harris is in this, so I like bringing her back. She's
Max
really
Rex.
Good.
Yep.
What did you guys think of Malcolm McDowell as Loomis?
He was good. I liked him.
Yeah. I didn't mind it. It was just but forgettable. Like, I didn't hate it, but I was just like, eh.
Yeah,
I didn't...
was what he was. And then, like, the Danny Trejo character was like, oh, that's cool, like... you know, he's got sort of a relationship with Michael, and they made Michael way too big. I mean,
he's at least 8'3".
He's enormous. He's bigger than WWE's Kane.
Yes. Well, who played him in this?
WWE's Kane.
No, I want to say, honestly, it was like Kevin Nash. I'm not even kidding.
I think it was Yao Ming.
No, it wasn't Yao Ming.
I'm serious. I think it was Kevin Nash.
No. He played Super Shredder, I think is who you're thinking of.
He did, and he was phenomenal. He took down that pier like no one's business.
You might hear some clickety clacks here.
Yeah, where's the goddamn cast on this thing? Oh, Tyler. No. That's the. Oh, yeah, Tyler Mane. Yeah. Tyler Mane.
Okay, but he's a big dude, though.
Oh, he's a huge
dude. He's huge.
He played Sabretooth. He played Sabretooth in the first X-Men movie.
Oh, so that's why, because, okay.
Acting
that's who you're thinking
of. Force.
And he played Rufus in The Devil's Rejects. I'm telling you, it's the whole goddamn cast from Devil's Rejects in this.
I also feel like this movie is much like the SNL digital short for Dear Sister, where they keep on playing that song over and over again when they pull the gun.
Yeah.
It seems like the Halloween theme song plays at least once every 2 to 3 seconds in this movie.
I know. I mean, it's so good, but you definitely overdid it. And I'm surprised that, like, because Devil's Rejects is one of the best soundtracks and the best use of music in a movie, that, like, he couldn't have come up with other stuff to do it.
Which is funny because in Halloween 2, which we're about to talk about, he uses it once and it's in the end credits and that's it.
So Halloween 2 is awful, and I think there's a reason why we haven't seen a Halloween movie. This is the longest gap between Halloween movies. It's 9 years.
It's a big gaping gap.
It sucked. It was so bad. Like, the whole, now the mom, like, the dead mom's telling him what to do. She's riding a horse and, like, go kill all these people. You're like, come on.
Full disclosure.
Yes.
Never saw it.
No, you're not missing anything.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do that thing. Yeah. But I didn't want to do the thing where I, like, YouTube, like, a recap.
No. Not,
you know, because that's lame.
You don't need to. Just take my word. It's You can make an argument it's the worst one. And I actually, this month, I rewatched all of them except for this one and Resurrection. I couldn't find Resurrection. For some reason, that one wasn't on AMC. But I watched.
They're trying to bury it.
I don't know why.
It's in the landfill next to the E.T. Atari game.
But so for me, I would probably go, obviously, Halloween 1. Then I would go Halloween 4. Then I'd go Halloween 2. Then I would go, man, I guess H2O. Then I'd go. Then I'd go 5. Then I'd go zombie remake. Then I would go Resurrection.
I think Resurrection's then, funner than Zombies remake. That's the reason why I'd put that one slightly ahead of.
Yeah, it might be.
And Tyra then I would Banks and Busta Rhymes.
That's a good point.
Then, like,
that's a good point.
Busta Rhymes kills him. Like that wouldn't happen.
Yeah, Kung Fu kick.
Davey, ever hear of Kung Fu? Hello?
Ever hear of it?
I have, but like, it was more like Shaq Fu.
What do you guys think is the
bashing buttons?
What's the best timeline? Is it 1-2-4-5-6, 1-2-H2O Resurrection, Rob Zombie's 1-2, or just Season of the Witch?
Just Season of the Witch, baby. And put it on repeat.
Warm take. From what I've read, from what I've heard, it's going to be Halloween 1 and the one that's coming out this week.
Not that warm of a take. I'm completely with you.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. What should the name of this one have been?
H4O.
It should have been called 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Or it could be like Halloween. Halloween 2, seriously. This is like for real this time.
For reals, too. I think it should have, I mean, obviously Halloween to sell tickets has to be in the name. You don't need to do Michael Myers, but like, what about something with Laurie Strode? Because she is character B. Like, it's Michael Myers and it's Laurie Strode for the franchise.
Here you go. Halloween 2, The Return of Laurie Strode. Then Halloween 3, The Revenge of Laurie Strode. Halloween 4, the Curse of Donald Poussant.
I'm thinking Halloween.
Poussant.
He's a ghost.
Halloween 40 years later, : Season of Dick Baxter. Everybody's
the Baxter effect.
If they reference Dick Baxter, though, you know these guys paid attention to the goddamn movie.
I actually wouldn't be surprised if they did. I think they actually will do that.
I bet it's like, it has to be the second best movie in the series, right? And if it's not, isn't that going to be a disappointment?
Jamie Lee Curtis did actually say that the attention to detail that Danny McBride and his writing partner put into this is unbelievable. So I think something like that might sneak in.
Because I think all the other movies, they clearly were just like rushed. Like 2, they're like, fine, we have to make this. Here's a sequel. 4, 5, and 6 were just god awful, but they're just trying to make money.
I also think that they didn't even want to make 2 because I think that 3... They wanted to make, and they slipped 2 in 1 year ahead of it, and they rushed to just put that in there because the other one made so much money.
Yeah.
Or it's one of those things where you can make 3, but you have to make 2.
Yeah. No, yeah, that might have been something as simple as that. Where do you guys rank Halloween amongst all of the horror franchises?
As a franchise, I mean, that's an interesting question. Like, as a franchise, I would put the original Halloween up against any singular horror movie.
Right.
That is ever, but as a franchise, I mean, I think Nightmare is a better franchise.
Yep.
I
think Nightmare has better movies in it. Like, there's more better movies. There's 3 good Nightmares.
I'm going to cringe. Yeah.
Go ahead, say it.
I'm going to cringe saying
this. Say it, dog.
Scream is a better franchise.
Scream's the best franchise. Scream's the best franchise. Now, here's the thing.
I disagree.
Now, if you're into quantity, which a lot of people are, then they are not, because they only have 4 movies compared to the 10 that Halloween has, like the 13 or the 12 or 13 that Friday has, and however many Nightmare has.
Yeah, but 750 clip, though.
Well, not only that, the worst Scream movie to me, and we'll do more on this in 2 weeks, but the worst Scream movie is Scream 3, and Scream 3 might be the second best Halloween movie.
It would be in the mix. With you can 4 make an or argue, 2 you can make and an H2O, argument. Yeah.
Exactly.
I agree.
Exactly. Yeah. There's also the Dawn of the Dead, or like the Night of the Living Dead series. There's this.
So those are really good. Also, you're left off the Evil Dead trilogy, would be my favorites.
You know what? That's a good answer, too.
You left off Batman and Batman Returns. I would take both of those.
Good.
Mask of the Phantasm.
Mask of the Phantasm.
Don't get me started.
No, there's a chance I'm in the movie. Dead. Tim Burton, spooky.
The Saw franchise? I actually like the Saw franchise.
Yeah.
I'm sticking with my answers. Evil Dead trilogy is my favorite.
Evil Dead. Now, would you, I guess Alien, would that be a horror franchise?
Too sci-fi. It's sci-fi horror.
I was going to say, Alien, I guess it is. Alien 1 is a horror movie. The rest of them are probably not.
I think it's the most comparable probably to the Friday franchise where there is... Although Friday doesn't have one great movie. Like it has.
Time out.
What?
For the listener, you're talking about Friday the 13th. You're not talking about the Friday franchise, right?
No, I am.
Which I would stack up against anything.
With Craig and Day-Day?
I'll tell you, I thought you weren't going to be able to replace Chris Tucker. I was wrong.
You were dead wrong.
Mike Epps is a treat.
As Day-Day is awesome.
She knows about all the bootleg snacks.
But
he's got a new
movie.
Motherfucker coming out. Bite into it, glitter, shit.
All the year 2000 snacks. Sorry, we're going on a Friday.
Too much.
But Friday the 13th, I mean, it has it doesn't have any great movies. It has some good movies, but on the whole, it's terrible. Like, there's a lot of really, really bad movies that kind of compares to what Halloween is outside of Halloween 1.
And don't sleep on the Leprechaun franchise.
They go to space. They go to the hood. They go back to the hood.
A
couple of trips to the hood, sure. Yeah. No problem there.
And actually, I think before the Friday series was killed off, Jason was supposed to go to the hood after space.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
But some bitches had to reboot it instead.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I guess the last question would be, do we assume that in this upcoming Halloween... Laurie Strode and Michael Myers.
I hope Jamie is back.
Are not related.
They are not.
They're not related. They're not related.
I think that's kind of the whole point, right? Like you can't have them related. Like, what's the point?
They actually make a joke in the trailer where she says that was all a myth. So,
Nice.
Hello.
Nice. I'm very excited.
I would like for Jamie to also be in this movie.
Jamie Lloyd. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
To sneak Daniel Harris somewhere in there. Anywhere in there. I don't care.
All right.
Slip it in.
Okay, you silly goose. Easy, man. Yeah. Relax.
It's past my bedtime, guys. Sorry.
All right, you guys want anything else on the Halloweens? Anything else?
Check it out.
Give him a go.
I think I tweeted this out, but if you have Comcast, they're all on AMC on demand right now. I guess with the exception of Resurrection for whatever reason, but every other one is on there.
I would give a hard recommendation for Halloween and then a soft one, like very, very soft, for 4-H2O-2.
4-H2O-2. Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right.
And then if you want some fun, Season of the Witch.
Season of the Witch.
So weird.
Yeah,
such a fucking weird movie.
It's bizarre. All right, let's get to the pick of the podcast. All right, Ryan, let's let our guest go first this time.
Yeah,
what do you say?
Please, let's be good hosts.
Goo, what do you have for us?
So last night, I went ahead and paid $6 to rent a movie on demand at my house. The movie Slice. Have you guys heard of Slice?
Have not.
Is Paul Scheer in that?
Paul Scheer, Chance the Rapper, Zaze Beetz. So what? I'm like, this sounds pretty good. This sounds like it's going to be fun. They know that they're making a B movie. And this is one of the worst movies I've ever seen, where there is no direction in it. I don't know if it's a spoof movie. I don't know if they're taking it serious. I really hated my experience watching Slice.
Oh, no.
Okay, so, so did you have something that the people would want to watch for your pick of the pod?
This is pick of the podcast, not the to-don't list, which
we
do
sometimes. Can we circle around back to me? I have Slice on my screen right here. I have nothing else to offer at this moment. Pick of the pod. Right. Go check out Macabre and Ghoul.
There you
go.
Plug yourself. That's a good pick of the pod. Macabre and Ghoul.
Final chapter.
And one of the greatest things about Mac and Goo, and I would say this without Goo being here, but the fact that you guys crank out two quality episodes, one being your episode proper, and then the Juicy Six Pack every Friday, it's a must listen if you like hashtag Dork Podcast.
Oh, I got to get on that. I got to do a six pack. I haven't done one.
You were supposed to do that.
I know. I haven't decided. I'm going to do something Scream related. I don't know what yet.
And then I'll just get like 10 of those all Scream related.
So here's an idea. We're just spitballing here, but they just did the best movie deaths. You could do the top six Scream movie deaths.
You could do that.
Yeah,
we had two Screams on the top 10 deaths. So
oh, you did? Well, no, then I'm not going to do that then. That's sort
there's
of
a lot of good. There's a lot of good deaths.
No, I know
a lot of good deaths.
What about just six best characters?
You could do that. You could do.
That's not bad.
Six, I will say my favorite six best is Randy. Jason with the sleeping bag.
Oh, that's an awesome one. Love that one. No. You could do six best Randy comments.
Yes, six best Randys. Yep. I do love Randy.
Randy references.
Randy references. Six best Randy Meeks comments.
Nice.
All right, Ryan, what's your pick of the pod?
So I got two this week, and one of them, Making a Murderer 2, is coming out this week. So if you like Making a Murderer 1, we might have to do another standalone episode for Making a Murderer 2 for you, Richard. And a movie that we've mentioned a lot on this podcast in talking about Ryan Johnson is a movie called Brick. Starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt. There's another Joseph Gordon-Levitt reference. Mm. It's on Netflix now. So if you haven't seen that, I know I've mentioned it a lot.
Brick.
I know Wesley from the Boxers likes it. I know Marcus likes it. Have you guys seen it?
No.
No.
It's awesome. It's like a crime, like film noir, but it takes place in a high school.
Yeah.
And it's actually really good. So
I'll check it out.
If you haven't, the dialogue in this movie is razor sharp. It's awesome. So check out Brick.
I will watch Brick. Okay.
Guys, go check out Riverdale.
Oh, yeah.
I need someone to talk to. I need more people to talk to.
Shime watches it. Shime's in on that.
I am just shooting tweets all over the place.
I'll get in on it. I'll watch.
Good.
Because the first two seasons are on Netflix, right?
And yeah, they are.
And Cheryl starts great and only gets better.
Oh my gosh, she gets so much better. And
all right,
they right now they're saying they're not going to do it, but the new Sabrina show is going to tie in. That's my prediction.
It absolutely is.
It's going
to
tie in.
What happened at the end of the first episode? There has to be something with Sabrina.
Yes, please. She lives a town over, for heaven's sakes. So,
which they mentioned several times.
My pick of the pod is the Joe Rogan stand-up special. The new one on Netflix is pretty good. So check that out. Also, something I haven't started reading yet, but I just picked up the first volume of Baltimore. Have you ever heard of this graphic novel, Rye?
I've heard of it, but I don't know much about
it. Yeah, it's like World War I ended, and there's like a plague, and now there's like a bunch of vampires. Like, I don't know. It's a horror graphic novel, so I'm going to give that a go.
Albert Bell's wearing 88. It's crazy.
It's wild.
Joey.
No, he was Albert in Baltimore. Come on.
No, but did we ever tell you the story when Albert Bell gave Rich the finger?
I was giving him the business.
He was calling him Joey. He was calling him Joey the whole time. Oh. Turn around, flipped him the bird.
I also got Jim Corsi to give me the middle finger and Jesse Orozco.
Who like just stared you down.
It was a real trifecta that day.
Are these all on your LinkedIn account or no?
Yeah. There's probably even a video, maybe a picture with the guys. Yeah. It's up there.
Now, Goo, realize these all happened in the matter of like a half hour.
Really? It was getting on.
Which is pretty impressive.
And this is no joke. This sounds like it's being made up, but we left the game because it was either our baseball team or our dorm or whatever it was. It was our dorm
because the kid in our dorm was singing the national anthem at Fenway. So we got to go.
Oh, that's what it was. So we were sitting out there and then, so we had to leave. We left in the eighth inning and no lie, we got like a standing O from our section.
Like not like a sarcastic,
not
like
even
glad
joking.
They're gone.
Like they thought we were so funny. Like, cause we were just ripping on everybody in the bullpen and in right field that they were like sad that we had to leave. I've never experienced anything like that in my life. Nobody's ever been sad that I've left except for those people.
You guys saw the Hindenburg go down and you said, that's gotta hurt.
Yeah, we did.
We left on a high left on a real high note that day. Goo, how can the people check out your podcast?
The easiest way is to go to macandgoo.com, but the way that I prefer, go to iTunes, search MAC&GU. You can find us there. Review us. We'll give you a t-shirt. We're also on iHeartRadio. Check us out there. Really, anywhere that you can find podcasts, much like you guys, I assume, just find Mac and Goo, search Mac and Goo.
There you go. Of course, hashtag dork. You're listening to it however you're listening to it. But there are plenty of ways, including iTunes. You can rate, review, subscribe there. You can follow us on Twitter at Dork Podcast. You can email us dorkpodcast@gmail.com. We're on YouTube, youtube.com/dorkpodcast. Davey, where can the people just get after you?
Oh, guess what, Richard? We got some news. We got some breaking news.
Breaking goos?
Now, a hashtag dork news flash.
The stream's back this Thursday.
Is that right?
We're back, baby.
Stream's back. Are you going Dorktober Season of the Witch stuff?
Yeah, we're going back to that. Yeah, we had a couple weeks, had to regroup, but we're back.
Oh, I love it.
So stream's back on Thursday.
Good, so Overwatch. We get some Halloween Overwatch going, too.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Friday the 13th last week was great. We
I know.
Me and who was playing? Shime. I think Wes was playing. It was good stuff.
We got to do that. We got to do that, too.
All right. So that'll do it. Any final thoughts from anybody? Arvon D on the Twitch.
Arvon D on the Twitch and any social media. Come get me.
All right, I am worn out.
You can say your catchphrase, and then I'll say mine.
Tuesdays are goose days. I abuse kangaroos.
Another perfect episode. We'll be back next week with the new Halloween.